John chapter 4. John chapter 4. We're going to be looking at a familiar passage of Scripture, perhaps in just a little bit different way than we normally do. John chapter 4, and we'll begin our reading this morning in verse 23. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talketh with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou? Or, Why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city, and came unto him. And we'll leave off reading there with verse 30. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Dear kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we come before thee this morning. We come thanking thee for this beautiful day that you've given us. We thank thee, our Father, for these that have been able to come out and be with us today. We ask, Lord, your blessings upon them. Lord, we pray for those that are sick and unable to be here today. Lord, we pray that you bless them and help them and comfort them and lift them up. Lord, we pray. Now, Father, as we look into this passage of Scripture, Lord, I ask that you would open our hearts to see where we began, to see how it was with us when we first started our walk with thee. And Lord, I pray, oh Lord, how I pray that we would turn our hearts back to the way we were then. And dear Lord, I just pray now that if there's anybody here that's lost, that this will be the time that you speak to their hearts and draw them unto yourself. And dear Lord, what you do for us, we'll thank you and praise you for these things we do ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The subject that I'd like to draw our thoughts to this morning is a glimpse of pure faith. A glimpse of pure faith. In our Bibles, we have recorded for us a number of times that Jesus encounters very different people with very different needs. Of those, I think this is one of my favorites. Here, as we generally think of her as the Samaritan woman by the well, which is how we usually refer to this woman, and we refer to a lot of things about her character, which we'll get into this a little bit this morning, and we look at her as she discussed her life and the things that were going on with the Lord, and what a marvelous thing it was that Jesus revealed himself to her and how she reacted. And we're going to be looking today at this particular time how that Jesus displayed his great love for his lost sheep, for this particular lost sheep. Now we all know that the Jews hated the Samaritans and the Samaritans hated the Jews. The Jews would go many, many miles out of their way to not set foot in Samaria. The Samaritans were, for lack of a better way of putting it, half-breed Jews. They were Jews that had went to the northern captivity and had intermingled and intermarried with the people of the land. They retained many of the customs of the Jews, not all, but many. They retained many of the ways of worship that they thought was true. This woman threw up many things that they did and how that they worshiped God, but their worship was amiss. They were not worshiping him as they should. And for that matter, at this time, the Jews weren't worshiping God as they should either. But this was very evident there. We see clearly the attitude that you and I should have towards people. We are so judgmental in the way we think of people. Mm-hmm. If somebody comes in a building, a church. I'm not necessarily talking about us in particular, but I have seen it happen. Not here, I should not clarify that. But I have seen it happen where somebody will come in dressed finely, that buddy, they are treated a certain way, a good way. People will make their way to welcome them and speak with them and talk closely to them. And then I've seen others come in that looked like they slept under a bridge. And how are they treated? They're shunned. Mm-hmm. Nobody welcomes them. Nobody tells them how glad they are to see them. Nobody wants to talk to them. They're ignored. Beloved, we should treat people the same way. It doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter how they're dressed. It doesn't matter the color of their skin. It doesn't matter anything about them. It doesn't matter what their family may have been like. They may have come from a family of hooligans. But if they come into church, they should be welcomed. Welcomed with open arms and told how glad that we are that they're here. And that is part, a very big part, of what we see in this passage today, how Jesus dealt with this woman. Just how far we should be willing to go in spreading the message of life. That's a very valuable lesson that we need to have. We should be willing to take the message to everyone, everywhere, for it is the only message that there is. He shows how to be a witness and how to go about the business of sharing the faith. That is the faith that we have. Beloved, nobody else has it.
Right.
Nobody else has the message of truth. Though there's a lot of churches out there that claim to, but they're so far from it in the way they practice that they don't have the truth. They don't know what the truth is themselves. And yet we tend to be smug and sit back and don't do anything. One sure way to learn how to tell others about Jesus is to watch the way the Master himself did it. Now the main character in this passage, other than Jesus, is this woman with low morals and a bad reputation. You can't say anything else about her that would be true. This can be seen by the fact that she came to Jacob's well to get water at noon, the hottest part of the day. Now, gathering water was not an easy task. You know, you didn't just gather a gallon or so. You got enough to fill your water pot. We looked at this morning how much water some of those water pots could hold. You gathered enough water to sustain your family all day long until the next day, then you come and get it. So to go and get it, have to draw it up out of Jacob's well. I used to know how deep Jacob's well was, but I don't remember it now. But it's deep. It's not a shallow well by no means. And to be able to get that in the middle part of the day was not common. The other women would have come either early in the morning or late in the evening when it was cooler. History tells us that these gatherings were often opportunities for the women to catch up on their gossip. Now, I'm not saying anything demeaning here, because what does men do when they gather up together? Talk about the gossip. So this is just in this particular instance, we're just talking about a gathering of women. Okay, I'm not disparaging. So mark it down on the calendar. It don't happen very often. Verse 18 tells us that she didn't come with the other women. In fact, she was probably subject to their gossip on many occasions. She at the very least would have been a social outcast. I think the term they use today, or last I heard, was a pariah. One that nobody wants to be around. One that nobody wants to associate with. He tells her about an everlasting water as she came to that well that day and met a man named Jesus. A well of water that he had that she could take one drink and never ever thirst again, verses 13 through 14. Now she was still at that point thinking about the physical realm. Jesus was talking about the spiritual realm. The water that he has, the water that we have drank of, is that water that gives everlasting life and the pureness that comes from this moment. What a wonderful time. She hears about the true path of salvation, and she's saved by the grace of God. It must have been the best day of that woman's life, just as when we were saved was the best day of our lives. And I'm not discounting marriage. I'm not discounting births of children. Nothing compares to the spiritual birth that we have in Jesus Christ. What a blessing that is. Here we find the account of a woman who's heard the gospel and she's believed and she's saved by the grace of God and she is now a new babe in Christ. Here is a woman that was freshly saved. Her faith has not had any time to become jaded in any way by the problems and the affairs of life, the problems and affairs that come along with it. This morning, we have an opportunity to look at faith as it appears immediately after she's been born again by the grace of God. The kind of faith this woman had in her life is the same kind that you and I need to have in our lives as well. We should act the same way. So for the remaining time we have, let's look at the qualities of this woman's faith as we look at the subject, a glimpse of pure faith. First thing we want to know is that she has simple faith. Now, what do we know about Jesus? Jesus had begun his earthly ministry going to his own people. He came into his own, and his own received him not. He had demonstrated his power and his identity through many miracles and many signs that he did prove positive as to who he was. He had perfectly fulfilled the prophecies about the Messiah. It was as plain as the noses on their face. Yet, in spite of all this, they had, for the most part, completely rejected him. John chapter 1, verse 11 points that out. There were some that received him. We find those as we go through. But the Jews, for the most part, rejected him. Now, what's going on here? Here is a woman, a child of the hated race of the Samaritans. And one knows the contrast between her and these Jews. She simply hears the word of God, and she believes. We know why. The Spirit of God touched her heart. She was given grace to believe. We know that. Faith to believe, rather. But notice that with her, there were no miracles. No water was turned to wine. No demons were cast out. No multitudes were fed with little bread and a few fish. No one walked on the water. No one was raised from the dead. Jesus simply tells her the truth about who he is, and she believes it and is saved.
Amen.
Here is before us a simple faith, a very simple faith. So what do we see about it? This faith is not based on a system. A lot of things that mankind has come up with their formulas and systems of trying to get in close relationship with God, and all that they manage to do is make it so complicated, to make it so muddy, that nobody can see how. I don't believe they know themselves by the things that they've done. It's this faith, rather than based on a system, is based squarely on Jesus and on nothing else. This is the kind of faith that saves souls, not these big formulas that you come up with, not the matter of walking the Romans road, though you can use the book of Romans most certainly to talk to people about the Lord and tell them about their need of salvation and so forth. But it's more than that. If you just rely everything on the passages, on just a few passages of Scripture, you really come up with a formula. It's a matter of God dealing with the heart and speaking to that person and showing them their need of a Savior. Beloved, we Jesus said, though we are to come to Him as little children, in Matthew chapter 18, 1 through 5. That alone tells us how simple it is, that if a child, it's so simple a child can understand. That eliminates it from being complicated. And I'm glad it is simple, because I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer when it comes about a lot of things. And I can be confused about things. But this is simple. This is plain. And this is how it should be. And this is how children, as well as older people, can come to know the Lord and free pardon of sin. And they just follow what Jesus said. We are, that we are to lose all pretense as to who we are. We are to become completely open and completely honest with God about our needs and where we are and the shape that we're in. We are to simply believe Him by faith. You're not going to see the waters part. You're not going to see some great manifestation of great light shining in the sky. You're not going to see the heavens open up. You're not going to hear the angels sing or the trumpet sound. It's a simple faith, believing that Jesus is who He says He is. The fact is that saving faith is as simple as you can, that's all you can say about it. It's not simple for simple-minded people. It's simple because it's simple. Anybody can believe. Grace works in the heart of the sinner and shows them their condition. Grace shows the sinner where to look to be saved. And grace provides the faith to look, to see how to be saved. And grace enables a person to be saved. It all originates with God. That is the saving faith that is so simple. Now, we think about testimonies. What's the best testimony in the world? Who would have the best testimony in the world? Everybody here. It's just as plain as that. The best testimony in the world is a simple testimony of salvation by grace. The best testimony is your testimony as to what God has done for you and how God worked in your life. It is the one thing you never have any less of because you've shared it. There's some things you share with and it declines and goes down. This is not one of those things. Secondly, she had a sincere faith. What worked in her heart? After she meets Jesus and believes in her heart that He is in fact the Messiah who had been prophesied of old, she then forgets everything but Him. Nothing else matters. Nothing else is important. Nothing else stands out in her life anymore. She goes so far as to drop her water pot. Verse 28, the reason she was at the well, the important thing that she came after, the water that was necessary to sustain her family. She leaves the water pot and goes back to town. She then goes back to the city to tell others that he is here. The one that we've heard about, the Messiah, the Son of God, is here. He's here right now. He's just out there, outside here. This man, who moments before had meant absolutely nothing to her, was now the focus of her thoughts and her actions because of his revelation. This is truly an amazing transformation in this woman's life. This shows us this is how it works for everyone who meets Him. One moment, He is the Lord Jesus Christ. He, as such, He's some holy, distant man who died on the cross. That's the knowledge that most the world has of Jesus. You ask them about Him, that's what they'll tell you. Has it dropped into their hearts? No. They just see Him as somebody that came and died a horrible death to proclaim salvation for us. But they don't. That's as far as they go with it. But when we're given faith to believe, He instantly becomes a personal friend and the absolute focus and the center of our being. I can ask you this morning, what do you have? What do you long for even? What would you love to possess, or do you possess, that is more important to you than Jesus?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing. Nothing even comes close, to be honest about it. Everything else is a far distant second. He's the most important thing in life. That's the reason why we do what He tells us to do. We act the way that He tells us to act. We follow Him as He goes, because we are obedient to Him, because He means everything to us. His salvation is something that is amazing, because it brings about such an instantaneous death of change. You wouldn't go any farther to find any deeper change than in that woman, the woman at the well. We don't have her name. I'm not being disrespectful. I don't know her name. As we look back, I think about all the things that changed. Think about everything that changed for you when you were saved by His marvelous grace. Think about how your life was altered for better, for the best, and how much your life changed. This woman left town that day as a dirty, vile, and hated sinner, hated by those in the town. The women hated her because she was an easy mark for the men that would go to her. The men used her, but nobody cared for her. They didn't give two hoots about who she was. When she left town, she did so as a nobody, but returned to town as a newborn child of God. Everything about her had changed in an instant. When simple faith is granted to a person, and they believe in Jesus, and a soul is saved and made fresh, sincere faith quickly develops in the heart of the believer. And yes, I said sincere faith. There's a lot of faith out there that lacks any sincerity. We're talking about the genuine article here. Thirdly, she had sharing faith. As we looked at how she reacted, after she saved, the first thing that this woman wants to do is to go and tell somebody else. Think about that. Didn't want to keep it to herself. She wanted to go share. She wanted to tell this message of life and what God had done for her to somebody else. She ran back to town to the crowd who she knew best and told them about Jesus, verse 28-29. Now let me add this, and please don't take this the wrong way. I'm not being carnal here. But why did she go to the men? They knew her. They were the ones that would talk to her. The women would have nothing to do with her. But she went to the men. She went to the ones that would listen. And she told them, come and see. Come and see a man who told me of everything I've done. Man, that must have been rough to hear him proclaim her past. No way of knowing it. They never laid eyes on each other before. But the Lord knew her, just as the Lord knows us and knows everything that we've done. Not only did she tell them about him, she invited them to come and meet him for themselves. What she told them amounted to, he's still out there, and what he did for me, he'll do for you if you'll come to him. What a message. What a message of hope. Come and see somebody. He changed me. He'll change you. I am so much better now. The weight of the world is off my shoulders. He'll do the same for you if you'll just come to Him. And she had no animosity, apparently, toward the town. She just had a message of hope she wanted to share with them. And it must have done some good, too, because several of those men believed because of her witness, and others came to know Jesus because of her invitation. Her life, God was working through her. God used this woman to turn around a town to God, verses 39 through 42. What's to say what He'll do for us? What's to say what He'll do through us if we just yield ourselves to Him? Her amazing testimony. This woman had the kind of testimony that you like to share with others. Like saying, well, I want to tell you what God did for brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. Look at where they were and look at them now. Look at how God has changed them. Look how they're serving God and honoring God and glorifying God. In this case, the Lord took one of the vilest citizens of that town and used her to bring many souls to Himself. God can change anything. God can change anyone. God can use you. And so He can use us. You don't have to go to the bottom or come from the bottom to have a great testimony. You don't have to wallow in the hog pen to know how good it feels to be clean. Be cleaned by the Lord. So what I'm saying is this. If you are saved, you have a wonderful testimony. Each and every person here today that's saved has a beautiful, wonderful testimony. It doesn't matter who you are. As long as you can say, I have met the Lord Jesus and He changed my life. And He can do the same for you. And here's how you can know Him. The Lord can use your life.
Amen.
Doesn't matter. Now, isn't that a simple statement? It don't have to be word for word. Of course not. But you get the idea of what I'm saying. Is how simple it is. Notice His working within us. There's just something about meeting Him that makes you want to tell others about Him. You can't help it. It's something that's genuine. It's hard to keep it to yourself. It is comforting to know that as we attempt to witness to others, we have the promises of God that He's there with us. And He'll help us. And I go so far as to say, I believe with all my heart, He'll give you the words to speak when you begin talking to somebody. How precious it is to be used of the Lord. Let's ask the Lord to develop within each and every one of us a sharing faith to want to tell others. This should be the desire of every one of us who are saved. And this is something that the Lord will enable all of us to do. Fourthly, she had shining faith. What we see in her life is something about this woman was entirely different when she came running back to the town. It was evident that there was something different. I'll guarantee you that men of that town had never heard her talk about God or the Lord before. Those were some conversations that was foreign from her. Now, here she is talking to them about the Lord and inviting them out to meet Him. Inviting them to come out and be with Him and meet with Him. The change in her life was plain to see, just like it should be plain to see in us. You know, have you ever been around somebody a while? Say you work with them, you're acquaintances of them, you know them. And all of a sudden somebody tell you that they're saved, and you go, what? They are? That should never be said of us.
True.
It should be plain. It should be evident. Especially with those who knew how we were before. They should clearly see the difference in our lives now than before. This is something that is missing today in the modern churches that's been overtaken by easy believism. There's no change. Why is there no change? There's no work of the Holy Spirit. It's just based off a decision that you make to follow the Lord. And let me tell you something, you aren't equipped to make that decision. God has his talk to touch your heart. Your heart needs to be broken.
Amen.
And then you can be built back up. When the Lord saves somebody, it's something that goes beyond just going to church. Did you catch that? It's good to go to church. It's wonderful to come to church. But beloved, that's not what makes you saved. It's a change in your life brought about by God. And that's where it has to come from. Salvation completely and entirely changes a person. Now looking at the life of a saved person. When the Lord truly saves you, when the Lord is truly in your life, it'll come out all over you. People can tell it. People can see it. You won't be able to keep him a secret when he lives in your heart. You're going to tell others. You're going to share your life with others. I guess this is that whole thing about the light and the candle. You don't put it and hide it so nobody can see it. When he puts his light within your heart, you will stand out from the darkness that's around you. You'll be a beacon of hope to those that are around you. This is something that the world cannot take away from you. Oh, they may slander you. Satan may attack your life, your character. They may make all kinds of accusations, but they cannot touch the light of God that's shining through. In fact, you'll rise above it, above all the turmoil that's there. This is something that Satan may wish he can do, but he cannot affect your life because it all comes from God. So therefore, you don't have to worry about it. We see these people around us. I'm sure that you've met these kinds of people in your life out there in the world. You know the ones I'm talking about, they're always genuinely praising the Lord in public, telling their friends what God has done and is doing for them. They pray over their food in a restaurant. They're not ashamed to let people see that they know that they serve with God. They're thanking Him for the meal that's before them. Sometimes, but not always, but sometimes they'll have a New Testament or tracts in their pockets. Beloved, I pray that the Lord would do that in every one of us. Make us that type of a follower of Him. I pray that He will fill us up so much that we'll get a good case of I can't help it. You have to tell others. This will cause us to the point where we would do anything and everything for Jesus' sake. That's what it's all about. Let's ask the Lord to give us a shining faith that glorifies Him before this wicked world in which we live. Beloved, we have much to be thankful for. We have much that we are responsible for. We may not have come from a checkered past like the Samaritan woman did, but the work of grace that God worked in your life is no less a miracle. It's no less spectacular. It's no less magnificent. And your testimony is no less important. So share it with others. Tell this lost world about Jesus. Tell them about what He can do and what He has done and what He'll continue to do. May God help us to follow in to these patterns. That is, of this woman and how she followed the Lord. Let us pray.